As we mentioned last week, that the Perushim of Rabbeinu Yoina is quoted by many other Rishonim as well. As a matter of fact, the indication that we gave was where Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes many times, and he begins portions of his Perush on the Torah by quoting the various Perushim of Rabbeinu Yoina in Mishle. And he gives a particular reason why he chose to quote Rabbeinu Yoina. He brings it in the Hagdoman his Perush al Torah, and he says again the Lashon was Umi Perushay Echot Kodesh Medaber. He says, I will avail myself of the Perushim of the commentary, which happens to be from Mishle, of Kodesh Echot, of a holy person. He says, who is Medaber Nechbodois and Nechoichois, who speaks gloriously and proper things. And then he says, Ezekor b'mekoimois b'roshe ha-psichois. He says, I will quote, and I will cite excerpts, he says, at the beginning of various passages, as a hagdome, to many portions, I will quote Rabbeinu Yoina, he says, because who ishulikim, because he's a man, he's a godly man, he's an ishulikim. He says, b'toire amoidu pino. He is a pillar and a cornerstone of Torah, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. And this is, he says, who harav hagodol, the great Rav, he says, which is Rabbeinu Yoina, zechon levracha. By the way, and he continues and he says, I will place his pirish as a crown of fine gold upon my head, as an atorah l'reishi, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, to revive my neshama. How much more precious is his work than gold and all precious stones? So writes Rabbeinu Bechaya concerning the Perushim or Ben Yoyden. We pointed out last week, just as an indication, some of the other words of wisdom in other areas that normally we will not come across unless we really go through the various other Perushim as well. And we discussed last week a little bit what Rabbeinu Yoyden pointed out as what are the steps in order to acquire Chochmas HaTorah, wisdom of Torah. What are the particular steps? So then we mentioned that basically says that there are four steps that a person must have in order to be successful in gaining Chochmas HaTorah. And basically the four steps in order to gain and to attain Torah wisdom, he says the first step, he said, was to listen attentively, he says, to one's teachers, to one's rabbeim, and to one's mentors. That's the first step, to pay attention, to listen attentively. The second thing he says was to remove all extraneous desires of the Yetzer Hara and to strive to understand the deeper meaning of that which one is taught. So the idea is, again, to be very focused. You have to be very focused on the subject matter. You can't have many other things in your mind, not even one other thing in your mind. If you really want to be able to gain true understanding and be successful in what you're trying to learn, then you have to be Masiach Das, you have to remove all other extraneous thoughts and basically be focused on the subject matter. The third thing he says is to be mispallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for understanding, tefillah. And I think we mentioned then what Romer Karel said about his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish. That is, everybody knows the godless of the Chazon Ish, who became the Gadol HaDor. Of course, he had a great mind and he had tremendous hasmode. But he says, but people are not aware that during tefillah, he was shofar demois. He actually cried when he said the words, Ata Choyne Lodom Das. This is an amazing thing. He says, this is something that people are not aware of, that the Chazon Ish, in addition to all of his asmada, all of his commitment to learning, and all of the effort that he put into learning, and with that mind that he had, but at the end of the day, it was coupled and it was combined with Tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Rabbeinu Yoina really points out over here. Could I maybe to mention that many, many years ago, there was a melamed by the name of Reb Yudel Schlesinger in Yerushalayim. This goes back, I believe, in the 50s. And Reb Yudel Schlesinger, he was related to Reb Elvel Mintzberg. Reb Elvel Mintzberg was an Odom Godel, a great Poisik, one of the Gedolei Hador at that time in Yerushalayim. He lived in Katamon, that was the section of Yerushalayim that he lived in. And Reb Yudel Schlesinger was a melamed, he was a Rebbe. He had a particular Talmud. No matter how much he learned, how much he tried, he was not successful. The Talmud project was not successful, and basically he was not able to retain that which he learned. Even if he mastered it, finally understood it, in his level. But at the end of the day, if a week or two later, he just pashut forgot, he would not be able to remember it. So if ever he was tested on the subject matter, he was not able really to know it and to answer the questions properly, simply because he forgot it. He had a very weak memory. Shvach zikaron he had. And he tried various things, and you know, there are different methods of study, different methods of how so to invigorate your memory, and there's all types of advice, and so many things have been written even in modern times about how to enhance one's memory and so on. But it said that the Satmar Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael one of those years, and it was suggested maybe he goes there maybe for a bracha to an Eitzah. The Talmud was sent. The Rebbe should give him an Eitzah of how someone to strengthen the power of his memory, the power of his zikaron, to be able to retain that which he's learning. And the Rebbe said to him, why don't you do this Gula of Rashi? Why don't you do this Gula of Rashi? And the Talmud sort of heard the Gula of Rashi, and Lamaise, he failed to ask the Rebbe, which is the Zgul of Rashi? He got the answer, do the Zgul of Rashi. So he left, Shkoyach, thank you very much, and left. And he goes to his Rebbe, he says, I have the answer. He says, so the Satmar Rebbe said, I should do the Zgul of Rashi. And the Rebbe says, I have no idea the Zgul of Rashi. Nowhere do I know that the Rashi giving me Eitzes says how a person should be able to enhance his memory. So Rebbe Schlesinger, you know, he said, there's no problem, Shlaim is a lot of G'dol Ador, who have a great Bekiyim, all over in all areas of Torah. They probably know, if not all of the Rashis, many, many Rashis all over. And there surely they will know. And he began to ask, and no one knew. No one knew what the Zgula of Rashi was. That time was one of the Gedolim living in Yerushalayim was by the name of Reb Pinchas Epstein, who became the Rosh Bezin of the Eid HaChredis in Yerushalayim, the Badatz of the Bezin. And he starts to think, he goes through Rashi, all of Chumash in his mind, and he says, no, there's no Rashi that seems to talk about that. And then he goes through Tanakh, and he says, I don't see any Rashi there either. And he starts like this, going through Shas a little bit here and there. And he says, I can't imagine what it is. And he starts to think, and he says, I got it. He says, and I say to you, Rabbi, he says, it's worth $1 million. He says, it's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah Daf Ches. And Rashi says as follows, Im hoye mishakeach talmudoi, if someone's forgetting his learning, says Rashi, Yarich b'choinein hadoas. Put in extra effort, extra kavanah. That's a Rashi, Rabbi Yisai. And it was said that this Talmud studied the entire Masechtas Bava Metziah, and he went to a freher, and he knew it flawlessly. Zgul of Rashi. Yarech b'choinan hadoas. Rabbi Yoina tells us in his parish that this is one of the eitzes, this is eitzah number three that he pointed out, is to be mispalta Kodesh Baruch Hu. And finally, he says, is to study with diligence, to study with asmoda and with joy. You have to learn with simcha. If something is forced upon you, and you know that you have to do it because you have no other choice, you're not going to be successful. In attaining wisdom, so Rabbi Yoina, is to study with diligence, he says, and to do it with simcha, with joy. What kind of joy? And he even doesn't leave it to your imagination. He says, when you study, he says, study with asmoda and study with joy as the one who is seeking great treasure. Because that, in fact, the words of the Torah are greater than all treasures, or any treasure. That's the type of joy that a person should feel when he's studying Torah. Let me just tell you, that Rabbi Yoyin says in another place, and that is on his Pirish, the Pirkei Avos, and he says, regarding Hatzlocha in Torah, he says the following words, Ki tzorech tikon hamidus tchila. You need tikon hamidus va'ach ekach tiskayim chochmosoi. Ben Yonah tells us that in order to be successful in Chochmas HaTorah, a person, individual, has to refine his midos, his character traits. And only then, he says, he'll be able to retain Chochmas HaTorah, he says, as a permanent acquisition. Which simply means because Chochmas HaTorah is not like secular studies. Secular studies basically is dependent on one's physical, mental, intellectual, of the power of his intellect, how much time he puts in, how much effort he puts in. Torah is spiritual wisdom. It's Chochmas Hashem. Chochmas Hashem is not given just to anybody just because he decided to learn it. And that's why Rabbi Yoni says, you have to make yourself a proper vessel that Shemayim will be willing to inspire you and to shower you with Chochmas HaTorah. And therefore, says Rabbi Yoni, what's important is you need tikkun amidus, you need refinement of character, because the Torah will not reside in a person that lives a life which is antithetical, which is completely not in the ways of the Torah, and will be an embarrassment for the Torah. So in order to be able to be zoichet to Chochmas HaTorah, says Rabbeinu Yoina, you need tikkun hamidos. You need refinement of character. A person has to improve his milos first, and then one can hope to embark and to gain success in Chokhmas HaTorah. So we go to Rabbi Sai here, and we're up to the Shah Rishon. We are here in Sif Yudalit. Let me just mention, which is an akuda that we left off last week. Rabbi Yoni said that in addition of the various steps in the Derech of Tshuva, which we have, a person has the charote, he has his regret, he has his azivas achet, all of those proper attitudes. Rabbi Yoni also points out very necessary is to have what's called yogoin, which means to feel sorrowful, for the fact that he sinned. And we pointed out that regret and feeling sorry is not the same thing. Because although on the surface they do seem the same thing. Because you're only feeling regret. Why do you have regret? Why do you have charote? Well, you have charote because you are sorry about it. And yet, says Rabbi Yonah, no. Charote and yogoin, sorrow, there are two different dimensions. And the illustration that basically is given is, you can imagine that if a person makes a small investment, which he can live without it even if he loses that money, assuming that he invested $200, $300, and he lost it. It's a small investment, relatively small investment. But you know what? He has charote. He does have regret. He hoped and he wished that, why should I lose even $200? But you know what? He's not sorry. It does not take over his life. His mind is not filled with the loss. But imagine if a person invests and loses an entire fortune. That's more than just charote. That's called yoga, in says Rabbi Yonah. That's called sorrow. Which means it takes over his entire mind. The loss and the feelings of tsar basically controls his life. That's the idea of yoga. Says Rabbeinu Yoni Shari Tshuva. He says, more, he says, than losing one's fortune, he says, one has to realize the pain and the damage that one does to his neshama and what he did against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he sins, when he does an aveira. One has to really recognize. And he goes on to explain. He said, because if we realize, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you every breath of life, all the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, in addition simply just for creating you, the fact that you were born, yesh miayin, something made out of nothing, that alone. And yet the continuous chesed, he didn't abandon you even once that he created you, allowed you to be born, he didn't abandon you, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously feeds you, and his mashpia chesed on you, continuously, every breath of life. So Mela, and now you go in your mamris piv, now you go, you defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you go and you disobey him. If you really understand, and who is it? You're talking about the Melech Malcha Melochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should be filled with yoga. And the example that, again, to explain the difference, Charote Mistam, regret. You regret. Even a small fortune losing is also regret, but you're not really so sorry about it. Yoga means something that really, you're filled with sorrow. You're really filled, and you're consumed with that which you have done. That's the difference between a simple Charote, which is simple regret, and yoga. So it works in steps. It takes a while, and maybe sometimes a long while, where a person really becomes so sensitive to chet, to avera, that in addition to charote, which is simple charote, which is also something, a person regrets sinning. Again, we don't dismiss any steps that a person makes on the road to tshuva. But there has to lead up, ultimately, to have what's called tshuva shalema, leading to perfection in the area of tshuva, to reach a madrega of yoga, in which that takes a lot of work to understand what chet means, to whom you have sinned, and why is it such a bad thing to sin, against whom are you sinning, how are you paying back a Kodesh Baruch Hu, your mishalim, ro, tachas, toiv, and so on and so forth. That leads you up to the madrega of yoga. Another simple explanation was Matisyo Solomon once said it in Nevada, I believe. He said, an example would be that a person goes into the house, and realize that the Hanukkah menorah was stolen. Well, he's pretty much upset that the Hanukkah menorah was stolen. He's upset. Then he goes into the next room and he sees that he had a safe. The safe was cracked open and all his entire fortune was taken out of there. That's not some charote. That already is yogoin. That's the level of yogoin. Losing a Hanukkah menorah or a stomach candelabra, all right, you have regret. You're not happy about it and you do feel something about it. There is a measure of pain. But then, after that measure of pain, you can imagine the difference. He forgets already a bit. That doesn't bother him anymore, losing that menorah. But now he realizes that the safe was cracked open. Now he's really, really, truly worried about it, and this really consumes him. Here the tsar is. So when a person, the truth is, when a person is a sinner, prior to his road, his career in tshuva, he doesn't even recognize what sin is. So as he embarks, as he's into the avodah of tshuva, he begins to recognize what chet means, And the more he recognizes what chet means, that really compounds and places a great responsibility upon him to now to know even more how much and how necessary it is to do tshuva. At the beginning of his career in tshuva, he doesn't even realize how much tshuva he has to do because he doesn't understand, he's not sensitive to chet altogether. The more that one recognizes what the chet caused him, the losses that one suffers, the losses that one really is receiving after each chet, then, the more he understands that, of course, he will understand what tshuva means and the more the necessity and the achrayus that he has to do tshuva. He lost the menorah, that's one thing. But then he realizes he really lost the true fortune. When you begin to realize he lost the true fortune, so then, of course, the tzar is much all that much more. So, as he's involved with tshuva, he understands the chet even stronger. The more he understands the chet, his tzar is even greater. And the famous thing is, of course, known in the world of Chachamim is what's called the Tshuva of Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim. The Tshuva of Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim is, as it works, is that the great Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim was far away from home, and they went into an inn, and the innkeeper did not know who he was, one of the greatest Chachamim of all time, Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim, and they treated him as anybody else, as a simple, common person. And that's okay with him. Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim was not out for COVID, was not out for honor, was not seeking any COVID, was not into that at all, Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim. And Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim got up very early in the morning, and he had a derech in his life. His life was always striving for perfection, and he would do what's called Gilgul Shelig. Gilgul Shelig is known in the extreme way of where people, some people, took upon themselves, in a sense, to afflict themselves in order to atone for their averus, which means rolling in snow, which, of course, the cold that one's body has to roll through is something that is far from being comfortable. And Gilgul Shelig is a very high madrega. It's not recommended, certainly not for the average person. But Gilgul Shelig, there is select few who are involved in such a yonim as Gilgul Shelig, rolling in the snow. And the innkeeper happened to get up also early that particular morning, and he sees there's a person rolling in the snow. And he realized that this person is not stopped. And then he recognized it was Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim. So he didn't want him to notice it. He sees him. But later on, in the middle of the day, he goes over to Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim and he falls to his feet and says, I really ask mechila from you. I ask mechila, I have to beg forgiveness that I was not mechabed you properly. I did not accord you the respect that is due you. I realized now that you're such a great man. I didn't know that before. So please forgive me. And Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim said, no, it's not important. He says, I'm not out for coffee. You didn't do anything. You treated me like anybody else. But after that incident, Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim said to himself, I just learned a new dimension and another step in the road of tshuva. And that is, I found out from this person that you have to accord and extend kavod to a person according to the hakor, the recognition, as much as you understand. When you think he's a simple person, so this person was satisfied by giving him the average kavod. But soon as the innkeeper realized that this is a great person, then now that's a greater mechayev. It behooves me to be mechavod even greater. Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim says, the same thing is then my attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day, as I grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize the godliness of Hashem, the greater, even greater. If I recognize the godliness of Hashem, so my avoid of yesterday is really far from perfect, and I have to strive to even greater heights. So it means that every day, you really have to enhance your avoid of Hashem according to the new HaKorah. Because the more that you recognize Hashem, he deserves more kovet. You learn that from the simple behavior. If a person does it, benodom chaveri. If that was the attitude of a common innkeeper to another boss of Adam, Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim, that he felt he had to be mechaber him according to how much he recognizes his greatness. So the more that we come to recognize the greatness of Hashem, yesterday's avodah doesn't even count according to today's madrega. It was okay for yesterday. Okay, yesterday my knowledge about HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lower. So according to my lower knowledge, or lesser knowledge, so I served Hashem according to my capacity of then. But every day, hopefully if you continue to grow, you also have to grow in your avodah Hashem. That yesterday's avodah doesn't count according to the madrega that you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. So it goes according to the akorah. That so one follows the other. It's like goes into a cycle, the one called a vicious cycle. But this is a cycle of avodas Hashem, because the more you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not enough what you did yesterday. You have to do more. The more you do, you come even closer to Hashem. The more you come closer to Hashem, you actually understand and you come to the Havana of Hashem's greatness even more. The more you understand Hashem's greatness, now you have to do more. The more you do, you come closer to Hashem. The more close you are to Hashem, the Achrayas becomes all that much more. And so it's really a never-ending career of continuous growth until one leaves this world. That's the avodah of a person. So now we go, V'omar Dovid HaMelech Olav HaSholem. So we go here, Sif Yudalit. V'omar Dovid HaMelech Olav HaSholem, Dovid HaMelech said, Hashem negdecho in Tehillim. Hashem negdecho kol tavosi. He says, all my desire is before you. Again, the Ramelech says, Hashem negdecho kol tavosi. All my desire is before you. Ve'anchosi mimcho loy nistoro. Anchosi means, and my sighing is not concealed from you. You know what I sigh about. The Ramelech is saying two things. He's saying again, negdecho kol tavosi. And by the way, this is not a simple posik at all, because there's many different perushim in these words, and some we have on the sheet just to show you how many different ways interpretations can go on that posik. We are learning the posik now, obviously, as the Shari Tshuva wants to teach us. The Ramelech is saying, Hashem negdecho kol tavosi. My desire is before you. All my desire, kol tavosi. So he says, beyuroi. You know what the Ramelech means to say? The Ramelech means to say, gluya lefanecho. The Ramelech says, you Hashem, you only know that kol tavosi ki eineno zulosi lavodisecho. Not too many people are able to say that. David HaMelech is saying, you Hashem know the truth, that I do not desire any material things in this world. All my desire is for you, to be closer to you, to come closer to you, to be able to serve you. Kol tavosi is negdecho. All my desire. Now, many people can have a number of desires. You know, they have desire to serve Hashem. They also have desire for many, many material things. So they're sort of a combination. There's a little bit here, there's a little bit there. There's a lot of room for desire. David HaMelech's godless was that David HaMelech says it was not split, it was not divided. But David HaMelech says, Negdecho kol tavosi, which means it's revealed to you. You Hashem know that. That kol tavosi ki eineno, there is no desire, zulosi lavodisecho. And also, when I sigh, many people sigh for different reasons. Many people sigh when they realize that they intended a particular, which appeared to be a lucrative investment, but you know what, they find out by the time they make the contacts, they realize that they missed the opportunity, so they sigh. They sigh, missed the opportunity. The Ramelech says, I also sigh, but you Hashem know I do not sigh for losing any material things. I sigh because I look that my avodas Hashem is not where I want it to be. My sighing is all about you, says David HaMelech. Ato yoideya anchosi, you Hashem know my sigh. And that is, ki eineno aliske oilon, ba'advorim havolin. It's not about vain things. It's not about narishkeit. You Hashem know what I sigh about. Zulosi, you know what I sigh about? Only one thing. Zulosi, it's only reserved, my sighing is reserved, al chatoai, on the fact that I have sinned, val koitzer yodi b'vodisecho. Not only do I sigh on the fact, on the past, on things that I have sinned, but also, even the mitzvahs that I do, David HaMelech always felt he was not yoitze. He really did not do enough. That's called koitzer yodi. Koitzer yodi b'vodisecho. I did not achieve, I did not reach those heights. Any mitzvah that I did not do it with the proper shleimus that I might have been able to do. I possibly could have done it better. The Ramelech sighed not only in the actual sinning, not even on the good that he did. Even on the good that he did, the Ramelech finds reason to sigh about it. He's sighing about it, why? Because he did it. There was still a distance. There was still a distance from perfection. He goes on to say, said the Shari Tshuva, he said, misnaplim, by the way, means somebody who is davening, a davener. Misnaplim means someone who falls before Hashem. A particular davener once said, bechin erkoi, chin is famoshin chain. A particular person once said a beautiful formulation. What did he say? He said as follows. He said, anchosi mepagdecho harchek mimeni ho anochis. He says, a person came up with the following thought, and by the way, this is so true. He says, my sighing that I sigh because out of pacha that I have, the Yerushimayim of David HaMelech, was in such a madrega that basically it pushed aside all other types of things that a normal human being would sigh about. In other words, when a person has something that he's very, very concerned about, all the little things just fall by the wayside. Because there's something major they have to worry about. And we'll soon see about that soon on the sheet. You can imagine if somebody falls and he stubs his toe. It's very, very painful. So he thinks about the pain in his toe. Imagine by accident, after he stubs his toe, by accident, he was cutting something with a knife, and he stabs his hand. Much more severe pain. You know what? He forgot about the toe. Now he's worried about the hand. And can you imagine, let's say Chas v'Shalom, he gets a heart attack. Now he's worried about his life. He forgets about the hand. He doesn't care about the toe anymore. The greater the fear about something, it pushes out, and there's no room for the smaller fears. They just become bottle. The Ramel says the ultimate pachad is to stand in awe and fear and trepidation before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it pushes out all the fears of all earthly things. There's no room for anything else. This is what the Shaar Tshuva tells us. The anocha, the sighing that I sigh because of your pachad, it removes all the other anochas, all the other sighs. And agosi, and the worry that I have. What's the worry? The worry I have is that maybe my mitzvahs are not being done properly enough. I'm so worried. My mind is so perturbed about these things. I have no time and no place in my mind to be able to worry about other things. Because this consumes. This is the biggest worry that I have. If this is the biggest worry you have, therefore, it outweighs anything else, and the other things just become sort of like meaningless. So he says, Da'agosi mikoytzer yodi bavoy doscho. He says, my worry that I'm not doing enough in your avoidus Hashem, harchik memenu hadogos, basically removed other daigas as well. So for a moment, let's take a look at the sheet, just on this nekuda itself. Let's take a look. Going to do here is, okay, the times are moving along, but we'll do this. This is really, the first piece really is a Beis Alevi. And this is on the words that we just learned, that the Melech is saying that Anchosi, the first item, Anchosi mipachdecho, that the sign that I do because of your pachad, harchik mimenu hanochos, that basically pushes out all the other sighing. And the worry that I have, the worry that I have that I'm not doing enough in Avodas Hashem, that pushes out all other worries. Let's take this is a very beautiful Beis Alevi for Yosher Ben Brisker. Father of Chaim Brisker, it's in Parshas Yisroi, this week's Parshas, matter of fact. On the Pesuk of Lo Yisachmoid, right? One of the Lavim of the Aseres Hadibros is Lo Yisachmoid, one should not covet. There's a basic question over here. And that is, Hine Rabim Tomu. There are many who raise the question, Hech Shayich Azoro Alzeh. How can you actually warn a person against desiring somebody else's possessions? Uma Yaseh Ha'odom Im halochoim, im aleif choimit, if the heart desires. There's a basic question. The Torah, one can understand, it's actually a philosophical question. The Torah can command you not to do something. The Torah says, you know what, I don't want you to do A, I don't want you to do B, I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to eat non-kosher food. The Torah can say what I want you to do as well. The Torah can say, I want you to fast on Yom Kippur. But can you imagine, the Torah can say, I want you to fast on Yom Kippur, but the Torah can't say, don't be hungry on Yom Kippur. That's a natural emotion. The Torah can direct you to do or not to do, because that's something physical. Either I do it or I don't do it. You have choice, you have bechira, you'll do it. So the Torah, let's say, wants you to fast on Yom Kippur, so all you do is stop eating. That you can do. But the Torah cannot tell you, don't be hungry on Yom Kippur. If you're not eating, you're going to be hungry. How does the Torah say, don't covet, don't desire somebody else's? Isn't that a natural emotion? It's a hargosha. It's something which is in the lave. It's something which is in the heart. It's a very famous question. When the Torah talks about, and a similar question, of course, is also asked regarding the mitzvah of Vahavta Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, right, that you have to love Hashem. How can you, right, how can you prescribe or ordain people, you know, to love or not to love, when this is something, it's an emotion. Either you love or you don't love a particular person or a particular item. How do you command when you have to love Hashem? I have to love Hashem? Well, do I? Or don't you? So the Sasemis already goes down to say, the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every person with a neshama, which means there is a natural innate desire to love Hashem. It's there. However, our actions that we do that are against the will of Hashem and taint our neshamas, we create a barrier that blocks our ability to be able to love Hashem, because our actions itself have created that barrier. So when the Torah says the mitzvah, love Hashem, it means remove the barrier. We can do that. Because if you remove the barrier, the love, the natural love to love Hashem is there. Because every Yid, whose neshama is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has the innate desire and ability, and it should be there. It is there. There's a natural love. You don't feel it, though, because you yourself, through your actions, through your negative actions, the Averis, the Chatoim, create a Mechitza HaMadelis. So in essence, when the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, what is it telling you? The mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha is remove the barrier, and Memela, you're going to love Hashem. Because that's natural. As long as you don't ruin it, don't throw stumbling blocks to block the Ahava. So the Ahava is there. In any case, we have here the question, as the Beis Halevi points out, how can you warn a person, how do you tell a person, Leisachmoit? How do you tell a person, don't desire? I do desire. I see the guy has a nice car. I have a desire. I like that car. I wish I could have it. Person's house, and person so on. So how do you tell them, don't desire it? How do you ordain such a thing? The Kfar Hisbro Ibn Ezra. So he said, the Ibn Ezra explained, also raises this question. And the Ibn Ezra said, Shakoziv Mazir, what really, the Ashkofit, that a person is supposed to attain, in order to be able to achieve Loisachmoid, it means that a person is supposed to reach a level that you call kach yishal chaveroi rochik etzloi, that someone else's possession should be so far from you, beloy shum oifim, that you know that it's an impossibility. He says that there's no shum oifim, that there's no way to do it. V'sal kedatach, not even any havim in it. Achim memela, he says lo yachmedeno, that you won't desire it. Lo yachmedeno halev ukemoish lo yachmed akafri. In the same way, he says, here's how he explains it. The same way he says that the villager will not covet as bas hamelech, the le'olam lo yachmoid halev rak ledover shesoyver sheyuchel liyas b'metzias oiv sheyasigoy. And he says, v'hu hezber, the Beis Halevi agrees on the one hand, but he gives his own reason later, v'hu hezber yofe gamnoiv. The Ibn Ezra posits the following, he says the following yesoyid, he says the following, he says, the premise is, he says, you can manage a villager. A wayward villager. He probably, in all of his life, will not even have an opportunity to have an audience with the king. It's impossible. Even a person who is on a higher standard, you just don't have always the opportunity to see the king, to visit the king, to have an audience with the king. Very few people have that ability, have that privilege. Even worse than that, or even more unlikely, it is impossible, not even a figment of a person's imagination, that this wayward, or lowly villager, let's call him, will ever be able to marry the king's daughter. That's something so out of realm of possibility that it's not something that even comes into your mind. In other words, a person basically imagines something that he maybe has some belief. There's some belief that there may be a possibility to attain it. So therefore, you desire something, your body and your heart arouses within oneself an idea, a drive to something, even though it's still far from you, but at least there is, it's within realm, even remote, but at least there's some realm of possibility. The Ibn Ezra says, a villager will not waste his time thinking and desiring to marry the prince, because it's not going to happen. It's something that's so ridiculous to him, even to him, something that's so ridiculous, he's not going to think about it. In other words, you're only going to desire something which you believe there is some possibility you can have it. When the Torah says, Loisachmoit, Hashem gives you what you have, and Hashem gave your neighbor what he has. His is not yours. And what's his is so much his that you have really no connection to what belongs to the other person. You have to realize that you have really no connection to what belongs to another person so far that you will not desire it. You will only desire it because you think that maybe his car somehow will end up in your rishus. He said, but if you realize that which is somebody else's, that you really have no business at all having it, you can't have it. Hashem gave it to him. Hashem didn't give it to you. And therefore, that's his. What's yours is yours. If you live with that understanding, that you really have no way of getting that which does not belong to you, then you're not going to desire it either. The heart has a tendency to desire something that is at least within the realm of possibility. The villager will not desire or waste his time thinking about marrying, he says, the basvela, because he knows it's not. It's a ridiculous notion. What belongs to somebody else has to be just as ridiculous. It's not yours. It's his. Hashem gave it to him. It belongs to him, not to you. If you realize that what's his is not yours, to that extent, then really you shouldn't desire it. So l'sachman is dependent where your emunah lies. How a person really, how strong he is an emunah. Understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically distributed what's his and what's that, where this goes and where that goes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed and designated what belongs to whom and where. If a person has that emunah, that somebody else's is not mine at all, and I have no shaykhis to the other person's, then you will have loisachmoit. You will be able to find it much easier to be able to loisachmoit, not to covet what the other person's has. However, it goes further than that. Omnom, however, says the Beis Halevi, gam belav hochenichet, without that, he says, we can try to understand what loisachmoit means. Dinei kol odom yochel ishar, he says, every person, he says, can imagine biatzmoi, and he says, this is a test, you have it in your own life. Every person, he says, can find it out in his own life. Yochel ishar biatzmoi, he says, uborhu, it's clear. Demisave hodom leizedover, if a person, let's say, has desire for an item, taive hayoyser gedoyla etzloi, he says, kol echod lefitivoi, he says, veyie gam korov lehasik tavosoi, he says, a person, let's say, who has a tremendous taive, let's say you have a tremendous desire, and you're very strong in that desire, and you're trying to achieve that desire. And you know what? You're even close to getting it. Assume you're even close to getting it. You have such a desire for something. So what you're doing, you're pursuing it. And you almost have it. You're desiring to have it. You're working to get it. As he says, V'yeh gam korev lahasik tavosoy, v'yeh lach achreo. And of course, the closer you are to attaining your desire, the Yetzirah is burning you very strong. Because the Yetzirah really is, I almost have it. Imagine the last moment. You were just about to attain your taiva. But guess what happens? He says, but verak derach hilucha yuhu al gav hanor. In order to get to it, you have to cross a river. So you're crossing the river, he says. Hakofi was a frozen river, mikerach, right, ice. Ubederach ritzosi, as you are running across that river, to gain, you're pursuing that taiva, that desire. It's on the other side of the river. So imagine yourself, you're about to get it. But now you're crossing the river. It's a frozen river. You risked it. You risked it to cross a frozen river. And as you're crossing that river, nechelcha ragloi alakfoir, your foot slipped on the ice, v'choshav lipol. And now you're realizing you're falling. Now, what happens when a person is slipping to fall? Instinctively, what you're thinking about is how to break my fall. While you're thinking about breaking your fall, you're not thinking about the thing you're desiring about. Because now you have something much more important to worry about, and that is to break your fall. In other words, what do you see? When a person is afraid of something that's going to hurt his life, then at the time that his mind is consumed to save his life, to save his health, that pushes out anything, taiva, any desire that he may have on the side. He's not going to be thinking about that, certainly not for the moment that he's slipping. Because while you're slipping, you're not even thinking about it. Instinctively, you're just busy trying to save yourself. Said the Beis Halevi. Says Harebe Oisa Rega Shenechel Karagloi, the moment that his foot slipped, Venoto Lipoil, and he's trying to fall, he's about to fall. Hare Oz Yevatl Memeno Koloisa Hataiva. All the taiva that he had is going to be bottled. It dissolves. You know why? Because the Hapachad, Shenispachad Manafila, because the fear that he has from falling, Hevir Memeno Kol Ritzoinoi. This is nature, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled. If you have fear about something, and you're really consumed about fear, imagine a person again, just take another thing. A person that knows he has to cross, has to go through a forest. People used to go forest, right? They used to go far and wide, fortune, attain a fortune. You heard of the fortune on the other side, so you cross the seven seas, right? And you have to go through thick and through thin, if they go all different seasons, just to get, he said, to get and to reach that fortune. So you're going through a forest, and your mind is consumed, and you just can't wait, you're counting the days, I'm going to make that fortune. While you're going through the forest, you encounter a lion. You think you're thinking about the fortune. You don't even realize that such a fortune exists in the world. What you're going to see at the moment is the pacha, the fear that you have in front of that lion that might attack you, might kill you. Of course, you're busy with that. The fear that you have about something pushes out all desires. Reish Halevi says you have to have fear of Hashem 24 hours a day. If you are a true Yerushamayim, he says, it will not allow, he says, all these artificial desires, he says, to infringe, because where there is genuine yira, the genuine fear, fear of falling, fear of being attacked by a lion, you don't think about the other taivas. Everybody knows that. When there's fear of Hashem, he says that you do the same thing. Fear of a lion, yeah, fear of Hashem, not. If pachad removes, and mavatal taiva, pachad from HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove all taiva, says the Beis Halevi. This is what he posits, this is a well-known yesod that he says. He says, "Dechein yosar aboyro yizbarach." This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted, b'teva kol abruyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted this in the nature of all creatures. He says, "The gamma at pachad," even a little bit of pachad, of fear, "sheyal alev odom," that a person is consumed with, "mavir mimeno kol koiches hataiva vachemdo." It really removes all types of taiva and chemdo desire. If that's the case, v'imkein, once we understand that pachad removes taiva, so achre shehizhira Torah belav do lisachmoy. Once the Torah came along and gave us a law, a prohibition, loisachmoy, but also lachmoy, it is also to desire to covet somebody else's. He has emhoy lodom yira. If a person would be afraid of that isser of loisachmoy should impose a fear upon him. He should be worried not to transgress that. If you would be sensitive to the yisurim of the Torah, if you would have the pachar of a lav, you know what it means, a lav in the Torah? The Torah said loisachmoy, if that would instill, if the lav would be successful in instilling a fear, memela you would have no loisachmoy. You would have no problem. You wouldn't have that nesoyin anymore. Because pachad b'teva is mevatel taiva. The question is, what are you afraid about? What you are really afraid about is mevatel taiva. That's nature. We say that all the time. Are you afraid of lavim also? Or maybe lavim you're not afraid of? Says the Beis Halevi, when a Torah goes along and the Torah says, loisachmoy, and if a person really would develop, he says, yira min o'iser, afila yira kitano, he says, not asking you, he says, an amazing iser, an amazing yira. Even just a year of katana, if you could develop within yourself. The year is had a key, years on a feeler like falling. He says something like that. Gam kein shuv lo yachmad klal, you will not have the problem with lo yachmoy. So this is just one nakuda that we have here. Again, by the way, why are we mentioning this? Because this really falls very much in line with the Shaar Tshuva Ben Yonah tells us. When David HaMelech says, An chosi memcholo in yistor, Yukash Baruch, you know what I sigh about. I sigh so much, my sigh is consumed of your pachat, that it pushes aside all other sighing. My daige, my worry, is from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikoytze yad avodasi, that I'm not yoytze. That my avodas Hashem is so much lacking from shleimus, from perfection, that the worry that I have is so important to me, is so serious on my mind, that it pushes out everything else. The year of the Isser should have no problem. If there is a year of Mino Isser, to push aside and to be mevatel, to neutralize all taiva, all other desire. So now we go further in Tezvov. Sif Tezvov. Then he says, Ha'ikar Haravi, the fourth principle, Hatzar B'maise. Hatzar B'maise means that in addition to, as we said, to have the mental feelings about regret, the mental feelings about sorrow, you should do something actively also. B'maise, they should do something B'maise. It's not just enough tsar, as we said, to think about it and to have painful feelings, he says, but rather it's also tsar b'maisim, the things to do actively. Kamo shenema, we find the Pesuk says in Yoel, V'gam aton u'ma Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying now, Shevu odai, turn on to me, says Hashem. No, do tshuva, Shevu odai, return to me, b'chol avavchem, with all your heart, u'bitzoyim, fasting, u'bibchi, it's crying, will be mispaid. So you have the various hargoshes translating in some sort of action, as we see. As a matter of fact, we find that Chazal tell us in Yerushalmi, these are very, very important things here. When a person sins, when man sins, there are two agents. There are two agents which lead him to sin. We always talk about the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara comes in tools. There are tools. There are tools. What are the basic tools? They are the agents of sin, to Aveira. So Yerushalmi tells us it's the heart and it's the eyes. It's what you see. It's the heart and the eyes of a person. These are the two agents that lead a person to sin. The Chayim Kosov, everybody knows the Pasuk. We say it when we do the Krishma. We say it, Pasuk says, V'loisosuru achrei levavchem, v'achrei enechem. Two items are mentioned. Don't explore. Loisosuru. Do not explore following your eyes, following your heart. Being that the eyes and the heart, these two things stand out as being primary causes, being agents of sin, says the Shaar Tshuva, therefore, in the order of Tshuva, you have to address yourself to these agents as well. Namely, focus on the heart and some focus on the eyes. What are we supposed to do with that? He goes on to point out, says the Shaar Tshuva, Lochein, being that we have just pointed out that the heart and the eyes are two main agents of sin, so therefore he says, Bezois Yechupar Ova in Hasir Surim, the way to gain atonement for the chelik, for the avera of the agents, in other words, how do the agents absolve themselves from what they caused? The heart and the eyes are the agents that had a primary role in your avera. How do they wipe out that history, their involvement? Well, how do they cleanse themselves? How do they basically wipe the slate clean, the eyes and the lave? He says, it's done. The midas teshuvosom, you have to do a measure of tshuva. Keneged, he says, midas mishuvosom. In other words, the tshuva, the measure of tshuva, has to correspond to the backslide. It's a measure for measure. To the extent that the eyes and the heart cause you to backslide, to that measure correspondingly, you have to do tshuva on the other side. So he says, ki ischaper avoin levav achatoim bimri rusom. As far as the heart is concerned, the heart is the seat of the emotion. So the feeling of sorrow, as we said before, that's in the heart. The heart, the ovoin halev, the avera, the chelik of the lev in the avera becomes atoned. Bimri rusom va'anchoisom. It's from the bitter feeling and it's from the sighing. B'shever ha'shemem shoivrim oisoi. It breaks the heart. If the heart feels broken because of what the heart caused, because the heart is the seat of desire, if the heart reaches that sensitivity, that it feels a broken heart. By the way, in the Sefer Chassidus, as you say, they say from Rabbi Rabinim of Pshischa, Rabbi Rabinim said, he said, there's nothing so whole as a broken heart. He said, Nidi shidu az agam tzezach viyatze broken hearts. Because a broken heart leads you to perfection. So there's nothing as whole as a broken heart. This is what the Shaar Tshuva says. It's the shever Hashem shoyim, the heart feels broken because of what the heart caused. Kama shekozov, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, ki ruach melefona ya'atoif, which is a Pasuk that was brought, as we had in last week's shir. The spirit of man, the spirit, the neshama which is melefonai, which is in front of Hashem, ya'atoif is enwrapped. It's enwrapped in tsar, in bitterness. V'nemar, we know the Pasuk says, leiv nishbar v'nitke lekim lo sivze. A broken heart and a humbled heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not despise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reject. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reject, no matter what a person has done. But if you come back to Hashem with a broken heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives you in open arms. The beginning of that Pasuk is, Zivchei Elohim Ruach Nishbora. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. The true carbon, the sacrifice, is not shechting the animal. That's all symbolic. But there's a message behind it. Zivchei Elikim. What is the true carbon? Zivchei Elikim. Ruach Nishbora, that is the broken spirit. That is the broken heart, followed by the Pasuk Leiv Nishbor V'Nitke. Nitke means downtrodden, humbled. And he says, V'amoshal Azeh. He says, the moshal for that is, Min HaKelem HaTmeim HaShe Nishboru. He says, Mitumosom Taharu. We know, for example, Kelem that became Tomei. A sheretz, an unclean creature, right, that touches a kli. The kli becomes tomei. When you want to purify the kli, how are you metayer a kli? You toivel in the mikveh. But we know that kli cheres, earthenware kelim, cannot be toiveled. So if a kli made out of earthenware, becomes tomei, becomes defiled, how do you purify it? There's one way. You have to break it. By breaking it, it ceases to be a kli. And now when you make it new, it's like newly born, so to speak. It's a ponim chadoshes boilekam. It's something totally new. A new being came into being. So what do you see? That if you break a kli that's tomei, it loses its tomei. The Pasuk says, again, he says, The mashal is from Kelim Atmeim Asher Nishbaru. Kelim Atmeim, once they are broken, Mitumosom Taharu. They basically become purified from Tumah. K'mon Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, Vayikra Aleph, Tanur Vikirayim Yutos. Tanur means whether it's an oven. They used to make ovens, used to make like brick ovens. They used to be made out of earthenware. So Tanur, whether it was an oven that became Tumah. Vikirayim is a range. So it's whether it's an oven or whether it's a range. Yutots, break it into pieces. You break it into pieces, now the tumor goes off, now you can reconstruct it, no problem. You construct it fresh, it's a new kli, perfectly tar. So what are we saying? So what we're learning over here is that Leiv Nishbar V'nitka L'kim Lo'isiv is that we see the broken heart. So in the same way that we see that what? That broken kalim become pure? Broken kalim become pure from tumor? Broken heart all the more, he says. A heart that's broken, he says, purifies, removes all tumah. So that's the avodas halev. The avodas halev is to have a lev nishbar, to have that feeling, the broken heart, because of the agency of what the lev served to lead the person to chet. What about the eyes? What about the eyes? You know what you have to do? You have to wash out the eyes. How do you wash out the eyes? You know, when your shirt gets dirty, you know, you wash it. How do you wash out your eyes? Tears. Tears, that's the detergent for eyes. The way that a person washes out his eyes is through the mois. Because there are two agents. So as far as purifying the eyes, removing all the stains that the eyes have caused, the stain from the eyes, with tears. But Shenema, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, is that the famous diuk here that Rabbi Yoin emphasizes? Look how he sees this pasuk. We all know that pasuk. The pasuk reads like this: in Kuf Yotes, Dovid HaMelech says, "Palgei mayim yordu einai aloi shomru teresecho." He says that my eyes shed rivers of tears. Palgei mayim is rivers. Palgei mayim, rivers of water yordu einai come out of my eyes. Now I cried. He says immensely. Paul gave rivers of tears. Why did I cry? Now let's read the posik. You have to follow the dictum. What does it say? Al, because lo yishomru teiresecho. They did not keep the Torah. It should have said, because I'm crying because I didn't keep the Torah. David HaMelech should have said, I would think, I'm crying, I'm doing tshuva, yeah? So I'm crying, why am I crying? Because I didn't keep the Torah. He's not saying that. My eyes are crying, al asher lo yishomru, because they didn't keep the Torah. The emphasis is, we're doing tshuva on the eyes now. We're not doing overall tshuva now on the actual Aveiros HaChet. We're trying to tell you that the eyes need their own purification in the role that they acted as agents to the Aveira. Loi Omar loi shomarti toirosecho. He didn't say, aloi shomarti, I'm crying because I didn't keep the Torah. He doesn't say that. Aval Omar, but he's saying, loi shomru. They didn't keep it. Kehem sibivu HaChet. Because they caused the Chet to happen. Alken horadati talgimoyim. That's why I shed so many rivers of tears. Let's conclude, Rabbi Isai, with one item on the sheet here, which is a fascinating thing. And you'll see a little bit of how the psychology of chet works here. You take this number 3, actually. It's on the left side on top. Okay, Lo Yisasura we had, Ben Yoyin brought and Shara Tshuva, the Pasuk, Lo Yisasura, Achra Levavchem, Vachenechem. So Rashi, if you open up the Chumash and look at Rashi, what does Rashi says on that pasuk? We say it every day. So Rashi says, "Halei v'hoinayim, the heart and the eyes, hey meraglim leguf, they are the spies." That's why when you send out spies, right? So these are the spies. The heart and the eyes, those are the spies. He says, "Umisarserim lo yisaveris," and they are the agents. They are the brokers. What major the broker, brings the two parties together? What brings the chait and the person together? What connects them? You need a broker. The broker is the eyes and the lave. The eyes and the lave is the broker that brings the two people together, the two parties together. Now, so and Rashi says, this is the way it works. How do they work? How do they work teamwork? How does the teamwork work? How do they work together? So Rashi says, ho ayin roye, the eye sees, v'halev choymet, and the heart desires, v'haguf oysu averis. Here we have 3 shutfim. The eye sees first. This is the way it works. The eye sees something. Once the eye sees it, the heart desires. And the guf follows and does it. Does the avera. Eyes, eyes see, ayin roye, lev chaymet. So what is the seder? So what is the seder? The seder is first come the eyes. One problem. One problem. If the eyes are first, the Pasuk says the opposite. Lo yisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. The Pasuk says first about the heart, and then the Pasuk says don't follow your eyes. According to the way Rashi sets it up, it's the eye sees first, then comes the heart, and then comes the maisa with the goof. Well, then the order should have been lo yisasuru achrei einechem, and then v'achrei levavchem, because it's eye and roye first. The Pasuk says the opposite. Very important question. So v'tzorach le'iyun, b'stiris hadvarim, there seems to be a contradiction. Sh'atayru higdimo ha'lev le'inayim, av l'rashi higdim ho'ayin le'lev. Let's go to the next paragraph. V'hanira b'yishuvim shel dvarim. This is a sefer called Megid Yosef, actually. If I failed to write it down here on the sheet. It's one of the Srotskins, from a descendant of the Yisnaim L'Torah, Reb Zalman Srotskin. So he said, v'hanira b'yishuvim shel dvarim. You know what it means, as a devadai mekor ha'chet v'shoyru sh'oven hu b'lev. The truth is, the seat of the Avera is in the heart, because the heart is with the driving force. The heart is what drives you. So the truth is, the source of chait and the shayrish of the Avera is in the heart. Shayetzer roitzer lachtoi, the Yetzer Hara wants the sin, umachapes, right? Maris hataiva. Right? And it's looking, and it's toyeva, and it's looking for ways. Aval oifen achait atzmoi, he says, vitzuris Avera hu, shalev nigrer acher huenai. In other words, the lave really is what caused you to do the Avera. But in order for the lave to cause you to do the Avera, it needs something that the lave should desire. So the eyes really, what happens is, of course, as Rashi told us, the lave basically follows the eyes. The lave basically is a result of what the eyes have seen. Kama shalamadnu b'soita, the Gemara says, Ein yetzer hara shoylet, yetzer hara does not, right? Is not shoylet, does not have power, el b'ma she'ein of royes. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, fine. But now, Void nere, but there's another thing. Void nere lohoisef, tam lishvach. Shahalev machlit ma sheho'enayim yiru. This is a very, very important thing. The truth is, what's koivei, what establishes what the eye sees? It's a fact of life, Rabbosai. Two people can see the same thing, and they are not really registering the same thing. Two people can see the same thing. One can see something and see a positive side to something. Somebody else can see the exact same thing and see a negative side. What's going on? What establishes? How are you going to look at something? It's what's in your lave. What kind of a lave you have? What kind of attitude you have? The lave is conveyed where the eyes are going to see. Now, once your eyes are going to see, so about that, it's going to fuel the lave further. But before the eyes will see what you think it's going to see, where are you coming from? Where's the looker coming from? The lave is going to be koiveya, what the eyes are going to see. Here's an example from the Gemara. Beautiful example. He says, Kishnei anoshim yicholim lachzois boisem mari. Two people can look at the same thing. Ze asher nevola b'libo. If somebody's a manuvel, if somebody's a lowlife, if somebody's immoral, yirakir. He's going to see immorality. Veze asher kedusha b'libo yirayofi. He's going to see beauty. In other words, v'kach l'mad b'soit. Listen to this ma'aser. It's a chazal. The Gemara tells us in Soitet Daf Mem Zayin. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, when he came, Ikla Lahayush Pisa, he came to an inn. Of Delay Yikra Tuve. So they gave him a lot of COVID. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. He comes to the inn, the host gives him a lot of COVID. Yosef Ikom Mishtabech Kamen Noach San Yezu. So he said, how beautiful, he says, this Achsanya is. In other words, he appreciated. Shub ben Prachya was given COVID. He felt very comfortable. So he said, how be COVID? He says, what a choshev achsanya, he said. Omalei oiso hoish. So he says to him, this man says to him, Rebbe, the Gemara says, he says to Rebbe, eineo terutois. In other words, there was a person, there was another woman there, and the other person said, I see that the eyes of this woman are shaped in such an interesting way that normally I haven't seen this on another woman. Omalei, so Rabbi Shub ben Prachya says to him, Rosho, bekacha toisek, why are you busy gazing at women? In other words, what does it mean? Both people, I just failed to mention one thing. The host was a woman. The hostess was a woman. She was a woman. Rabbi Shub ben Prachya, what he saw, they both saw the woman, the hostess, and they saw the achsanya. Shub ben Prachya, he sees what a beautiful achsanya, what a beautiful inn, what a beautiful hospitality. The other person who was with him, there's another person that was with him, he sees the woman. Two people are in the same environment. One person focuses on one thing. What determines it? What is the lave? Two people are in the same environment. People are seeing the same thing. And yet they're not seeing the same thing. They're not reacting to the same thing. It's the lave that's kiveya, what the eye is going to see. So the Torah says like this. The truth is that the lave first is going to establish what the eye is going to see. Says Rashi. But once the eye is going to see, ayin roev alev chaymet. But once the eye is going to see what it sees, then the heart is going to be filled with that desire. So the truth is, this is the way it goes. Before the eye is going to see what it's going to see, it's the lave. Two people can see the exact same thing, and they're not seeing the same thing. It depends where you're coming from, what your attitude is. So the lave that you have, what kind of a lave you have, is going to be kaveya what you're going to be looking at. So Thursday is the Surah Achil Vavchim Achreinechem. Once you saw with your eyes, so ayin roev alev chaymet. Now the eye is going to fuel the heart, and the heart will continue to do and to push you to what it's going to do. So this is basically, these are the two agents. These are the two agents of Avera, and the Shaar Tshuva points out that each one needs to undergo its own Seder of Tshuva, the lave with the charote, with the feelings and the hargoshe, and the eyes, washing out the eyes with the demois. Let me just conclude, Rabbi Yisai, 30 seconds, and that is, he spoke about the lave nishra, about the broken heart. In the world of Chassidus, it is said, you know, was Rabbi Avrom of Trisk. Rabbi Avrom of Trisk was from the Talmid HaBaal Shem Tov that were oil at Eretz Yisrael in the early days. That's at the time of the Groh. If you know, the Vilna Goyen went up in his Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael. And Talmid HaBaal Shem Tov also went up. If you ever went to the ancient, to the old Beis HaChaim in Tveria, where you know we have the old Kvarim of the Talmid HaBaal Shem Tov, you have there Avrom Kalisker, you have there Mendel of Vitebsker, and whoever goes to Tveria knows to go to these Kvarim. These are Kvarim, the bones of the great, of the ancient greats, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov who went up. And when Mendel of Vitebsker was in Eretz Yisrael, in Tveria, he corresponded with the Baal HaTanya, because the Baal HaTanya, who was a Talmud of the Magid, when the Magid passed away, the Tanya considered himself to be sort of like a Talmud of Remendel of the Tepsker. So Remendel of the Tepsker is other Tetz Yisrael. The Baal HaTanya still kept a lot of correspondence with Remendel of the Tepsker. Anyway, Rav Avrom so they say that Rav Avrom of Trisk, the test of Avrom of Kalisk, but Avrom the Trisker Magid, the Trisker Magid, that's from Chernobyl, it's something, somebody else. Rav Avrom of Trisk, which the Trisker Magid, say he once comes into the Sukkah. It's a Sukkah's night. So he comes into the Sukkah, and he can't get himself to go in through the door. He stands by the door for a while, and he doesn't go in. And people around him are wondering, why the Rebbe doesn't go in? Why don't you go into the Sukkah? It's Sukkahs. B'makayim the midst of Sukkah, came home from Shul, and he can't get himself to go into the Sukkah. So the Rebbe says, listen, he says, as I was coming closer to the Sukkah, I was thinking to myself, didn't we just say, Sukkahs follows Yom HaNeroyim? Sukkahs follows Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Did we not all of us say in Insana Toikif, we say in the tefillahs there, we say, Moshel Kecheres HaNishbor. What is a man all about? What is he, the Ganze Knacker? What is man? So you size up man and you take stock of man, but Chilosov HaTzoyfe, the end, what does he measure up to? He's no more, he's nothing more than a Cheres HaNishbor, a broken piece of Cheres. By the way, let me put aside, let me just stop parenthetically so you appreciate what we're saying. I don't know if everybody is aware of this. You know, a sukkah, which of course a person is supposed to do his normal things that you do in the house, you're supposed to in the sukkah, you eat in the sukkah. And even if you, by the way, schmooze with someone, schmooze in the sukkah, not schmooze in the house. You're supposed to do it. You're learning, you're schmoozing, whatever you're doing, your business deals, whatever, do it in the sukkah. Sukkah is supposed to be your home. But you have a right to leave, because in the house also, sukkah is ketechu came to do it. The house, when you need to leave, you leave. But otherwise, you're supposed to do everything in the sukkah. You realize the sukkah has to be held with extreme covet. Not everybody's aware, when you bring in pots with food and you dish it out in the sukkah, and now the pot is empty and just dirty with the shirayim, you know, the remains of food, you're not allowed to leave a pot that is dirty from shirayim, leftover food, because in the sukkah you have to keep be'oifim mechubed, and things that are undesirable, you don't leave. You have to take that pot out. You can't leave. You say to yourself, you know, let's finish the meal first. Let me take out the dirty pot. No, you take it out first. You take out the dirty pot. There's a halacha, a klicheres, the klicheres, which is mos, because a klicheres, by its very nature, is sort of like repulsive because of its cheapness, and it's been used many times. You should not bring into the sukkah a real klicheres, which is mos. So the Rebbe said, didn't we all say, Moshel klicheres anishbor? We are all like a broken cheres, which is a broken kli, an unbecoming kli. That's what we are. A kli cheres should not be brought into the sukkah. So how can I come into the sukkah, he says. Moshul, kli cheres aniva. But then I thought to myself, but Chazal say, we just learned the Shara Tshuva, that even if a kli cheres becomes tomei, how does it become pure? By breaking the kli cheres, he says. So let us all break our hearts before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before we enter the sukkah. And with the Leib Nishbar, we will become pure, and now as pure people, we'll be able to go into the sukkah. That's the attitude. This is how Yidis Mekayim Mitzvah. This is the koyach of a Leib Nishbar. And that's the koyach that David HaMelech teaches us, that what the Ben Yonah teaches us. Again, Halavai, we come a little bit closer to these avodah, to this madrega.